You're listening to IMO with Tom Jackson, part of the Wednesday afternoon show. It's the news, but not as you know it. Well, it is that time of the week again. Time for me, Tom Jackson, to host my little bit of this Wednesday afternoon show. It's called IMO, that stands for In My Opinion, in hip and trendy text talk. It's where I take news stories from all across the internet, talk about them, and then ask your opinion. Today we've got stories on predicted grades at A-level and how people want to, you know, get rid of them. We've also got a story around Sir Christopher Chope, who's an MP, who blocked a bill banning upskirting this a few weeks ago. We've also got to find out whether the NASA Mars rover Opportunity is going to survive the latest Martian storm. If you have any thoughts of any of the stories we are covering today, you can contact us. You can send us a text to 60777 and start that message with BR6TT. We also have a phone number, which I imagine you can find. There's also, of course, the social medias at Vectis Radio on Twitter and Facebook. We will be right back after some Gabrielle with some news. Gabrielle with give me just a little bit more time on
She's
Vectis
got a new
Radio.
Single out, sorry
Actually,
to interrupt
no,
you.
No, it's very interesting. New music. There's a lot of new music coming out this year, which I'm quite excited for, because we were talking earlier about new stuff from those things like Jungle and Florence and the Machine, Christine and the Queens, in between there. But this is, of course, IMO, where I find news, I talk about it, and then I ask what you are thinking about these stories that I'm bringing up. And the first thing I wanted to bring up as our first story of the day, I mentioned it in the intro link to the bed before, and it is to do with the NASA Opportunity rover, the NASA Opportunity rover. And NASA are hoping that it will survive the latest Martian dust storm. This rover has gone into emergency mode, so it's quite a kind of a dire situation. It's gone into an emergency mode where there is so little sunlight getting to the solar panels that it can't power its major functions. And the only thing still going is the reserve clock, which will wake it up periodically to check how much dust there is and see if it can work properly. Which is quite Bear Grylls-y. I think that's the most Bear Grylls-y. That's a technical term. I've just made that up. It's a good one. I'm going to patent it. that's the most Bear Grylls-y such like a technology, or basically a robot has kind of got it in at least my experience, and that's quite an amazing feat in itself that it can do that. Because I remember it was quite a few years ago now. The other one that was sent up around the same time as this one, I can't remember its name for the life of me, but it got stuck in a rut and there was a sandstorm and then it just completely conked out. And now they've got this one in a similar situation, and it's a bit sad because this rover landed on Mars in 2004 and it was supposed to last 90 days. It's now 2018. Just to put that in context, that rover has been there way, 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 way longer than they initially expected it to. And it holds the record for the longest distance travelled on another planet at 45 kilometres. And scientists have said they feel quite a close bond to it. And they compared it to an old relative.
It's quite romantic.
Yeah. And that's quite nice, isn't it? That's just nice.
And it's the solar panels that are covered in dust, that's why.
Yeah. And it's partly stuff on the solar panels, I'd imagine, but it's also the fact that, because this is kind of being picked up by the wind, I guess it's kind of like volcanic ash on Earth when there's all that stuff going on, but it's so dense that it's blocking out the sun. It's kind of like when you learn about dinosaurs at school, they say that the meteor comes crashing down. And then it creates a huge... I don't know why I'm doing sound effects. It seems to be a thing today. They do that. And then there's the huge ash and dust cloud that blocks out the sun. and kills all the dinosaurs, just to leave it on a very upbeat note.
But if you're listening, you've got solar panels, it might be a good idea to clean them to make them work properly.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that I hadn't thought of for anything solar powered, is of course, things are going to fall on it, things are going to get there, like, birds need to relieve themselves. If they relieve themselves on your solar panels, that's energy missing.
Have you got anything solar powered? Have you got anything
solar? I was given about 5 solar toy kits a few years ago when I was a bit younger. But apart from that, not really. I've got a Mr. Bean solar.
Oh yes, thing. Yeah, yeah.
Those are quite funny.
I used to have a baseball cap with a fan on the front that was solar powered.
Oh yeah.
And my son went. He went to the south of France and wore it, and people were saying, "Oh, where did you get that? Where did you get that?" And it's really good because the sun on the solar panel activates the fan, and the fan then keeps you cool. So.
Oh, that's really good. Where did you get that?
I think they're available probably online.
Online.
Mm.
That's something to Google in the break.
It's really interesting. It's a nice thing.
Yeah. Oh, that's very interesting. That's very interesting. Now I'm deep-all, but throwing it out to the. We talked about the Opportunity Rover for what, a few minutes, but there is two on this. And it over, if you have any thoughts on like the Martian rovers, where you think they'll be going next, whether you'd like to go to Mars, that's a good question. Let us know why why not you would like to go to Mars. You can tweet us at Vectis Radio or send a text.
But
we can't arrange it. Maybe speak to
Red Maybe Funnel, the mainland.
Speak to the yeah, you can tweet us at Vectis Radio, you can contact us via Facebook, also at Vectis Radio, or you can send us a text to 60777, starting that message with BR6TT. Greatest Showman Filmcast now, and then we'll be back in just a moment. Cher with Walking in Memphis on Vectis Radio. This is, of course, IMO, my favourite segment, which is definitely not because I'm hosting it, where I take all sorts of interesting internet, well, not specifically internet-related news stories, although I did go on a little bit too long last week about an internet story. I pick all sorts of news topics, all from the internet, and discuss them on air, and then ask your opinions. And, of course, I am tweeting out questions as we go on this, so keep an eye on our Twitter to see what kind of questions I'm asking and give us your responses. So we just talked about the Opportunity Rover before the break, but now we're going to talk about predicted grades, because this is quite an important thing. I think it's quite an interesting thing, and it also highlights something that I didn't know, and it's always good to learn something new. So a study has sparked an effort to ditch predicted grades from the university applications. So this study from the University and College Union has said that no other developed country has this bizarre system of admissions, which is a bit strange, because I thought it was the norm, because I'm going through this process right now, because I am first year of sixth form currently, which means this month actually I'm going around all sorts of different open days and looking for shopping around and seeing what the best option is, and I'm going to be starting the UCAS application process at the end of the year. And so I was very surprised to find this out. I thought it was just the norm. Now, UCAS, the University Admissions Service, has said that 73% of applicants do not achieve the grades predicted for them in exams. And the results of the report sparked headteachers to say that the current system is not fit for purpose. Now, the question I had here is, firstly, what are your thoughts on predicted grades? Are they a good idea? Are they a bad idea? What do you think is wrong with them? What do you think is good about them? Is it good that we're not using, not other countries aren't using it? Is that because we're one step ahead, or are we one step behind? And, of course, that is not restricted to university applications, because things like target grades are used from year 6 and upwards, so that's the end of primary school all the way through. And it is quite an interesting thing, because I'm kind of aware of some stuff where it's kind of like it's all done by an algorithm, I believe. It's done, they take averages. This is like at end of primary. You take the kind of SATs grades and then they shove it into some kind of fancy little equation thing or something. They calculate averages, do all sorts of technical stuff, and then they come up with this target grade that they give to subjects that don't necessarily match up. But
I know what you mean. I mean, predicted grades, it's always seemed a little bit hit and miss, because if you're predicting somebody's grades and you are predicting higher, you know, it depends. Are you putting extra pressure on somebody by predicting that they will get grades that they perhaps are perhaps beyond their achievements? And I suppose the other question would be, if they didn't use predictive grades, what other system would they use?
I mean, that's the question, because it seems quite common sensey to me is that teachers are trained to teach. They know the students. They know what they're capable of. Why do we not trust them to provide a predicted grade?
That's a good question.
Because surely they would know best. Because they're in the situation, they're looking at the things, they can make perceptive judgments, whereas HAL 9000, the predicted grade algorithm, can't do that.
No, and I remember at GCSE level particularly, there were quite a few people whose predicted grades weren't that high, who really, really worked hard and outperformed some of the students who, were naturally perhaps quicker and were expected to get higher.
That was something. That was something else that I wanted to kind of hit on was the fact that predicted grades in for I think it was for GCSE languages because I did French at GCSE. That was based off my English grade at SATs.
Which is it's completely totally irrelevant.
And I mean, it kind of links into things to do with, because languages is kind of like a bit of a weird fish in terms of subjects at school. And there's been stories recently about a huge mistake in the French A-level exam. I think that's for the Welsh board. I can't remember what it's called. It's like WJEC. And that's just kind of an interesting thing, really, with that. And yeah, it's a bit of a weird situation, and I'm really going off topic, to be honest.
What you're saying, and it must be putting yourself in the position of the teacher. It must be quite difficult, because to predict somebody's grades, you've got to predict them. You've got to be optimistic in terms of the prediction.
Yeah,
because if you're not optimistic, then that doesn't reflect very well on the student, does it?
Yeah, it's just a very interesting subject, and there's an awful lot to unpack. But I would like to pass on again the question to anybody listening. What are your thoughts on predicted grades? What do you think might be a better way of doing it? And you can, as I've said before, contact us and let us know your thoughts via social media at Vectors Radio on Twitter and Facebook. You can also send us a text to 60777.
And how does it work in other countries?
Yeah, and that's another question. How does it work in other countries? If you know, let us know. And so, as I said before, social media. You can also text us to 60777, starting that message with BR6TT. Some local music now from Paul Armfield, and then we'll be back after some ads. Gallagher and Lyle, I Want to Stay With You. This is Vectis Radio on the Wednesday afternoon show. More specifically, IMO, my favourite segment. IMO, of course, standing for In My Opinion in Text Talk, which is apparently what all those kids are using these days. Not exactly sure myself, but we've been talking about all sorts of interesting news stories. I pluck them from all across the internet. I talk about them on air, and then I ask your opinions. So, previously, before the break, we were talking about university predicted grades and predicted grades in general. What's the point? Do they work? Do they not? But now I wanted to switch tack and go a little bit political. Please don't roast me on Twitter. I'm not up for that right now. It's been a long week. But this is covering a story to do with a bill, so that's something that's passing through the Houses of Commons that would, if approved, eventually become law. And it was a law banning upskirting, which is basically taking inappropriate pictures of strangers. I can allow you to work out the rest, because I don't frankly want to go into what it is. But the bill was blocked by one man. It was blocked by MP Sir Christopher Chope, and he blocked it as more of a point of principle than... No, that's not the right words. I'm trying to get this right, and I'm trying to get the wording right, but he He opposed the bill not because he opposed what it was trying to do, but because it wasn't debated enough. And, of course, there was backlash to this because it seems a bit like a no-brainer. Why would we need to debate something that seems so obvious? Why isn't there a ban? I was surprised there wasn't a ban on it already, to be honest, because it's just a horrible practice. And as a form of protest, bunting made out of women's underwear were placed across his parliamentary and constituency offices by fellow MPs and constituents. And so he'd received all this backlash. It's a very important bill, and Theresa May, the Prime Minister, has since said that the government is going to push forward this kind of legislation and push forward something the same later on, which is good, because, I mean, frankly, about time, if it's not, if it isn't a thing already, which it isn't. And kind of the question I had on the sheet is this silly or very clever? And I don't know what I meant by that.
Glad you don't. But I think the point with this is that regardless of the subject, which is obviously about the upskirting, people only read the headline, don't they? So the headline is Sir Christopher Choke blocks a bill
on upskirting.
But actually, that story was taken out of context because there was more to it.
But
beware of social media, because what will happen is if people see a headline that says you're blocking a bill on something so unsavoury, disgusting, anti-women, because let's face it, we don't hear about that happening to men, do we?
No, in any way.
If you're going to object to something, even if you're not objecting to the thing itself, people will get the wrong end of the stick and lynch you on social media.
It is. I think it's a bit of a problem because people are so quickly to take to arms.
Exactly. That's a good point. That's a very good point. And you have to be so careful on Facebook and Twitter and things. If you make a comment, people will not... People don't take time and study and read comments on social media. Yeah, they take the main points and then react, don't they? It's a real reactionary
and
type
that's
of
like
media.
The second tier of it, because in some cases when there's like a major event has happened, a major news story, all of the news outlets are quickly trying to publish the breaking news as quick as possible when all of the facts aren't established.
Exactly.
So everything is allegedly, but the headline says it's true.
Mm.
So even if you do read the whole article, again, it may not be true. This is annoyingly coming round to fake news, a topic that is both infuriating and rather dull now. We've had enough of it, to be honest. But you do need to be aware and make sure that you are getting your news from, firstly, like, recognisable sources. If you're getting it from supernews.com, that's not a place, that's not a if you don't recognize it, if it's not an established thing, don't take things they say as gospel, because it isn't necessarily going to be true.
Have you ever heard the expression today's newspaper, tomorrow's chip paper? Because fish and chips used to be wrapped in newspaper, people used to read the headlines and throw it away. Unfortunately, social media is completely the opposite in that it stays there, it's not thrown away, and it stays there forever, you know. And you see so many examples of people who make comments on social media, and then 5 years later they win X Factor or something, and lo and behold, somebody's trolling through 5 years of comments until they find the one that condemns them as being a homophobic, sexist, racist.
There are so many witch hunts that are going on, and I tire of it. Because every day there seems to be a new outrage thing. But that is the end of IMO for this particular week. And, what an hour it's been. Thank you, Caroline, for coming in and chatting about stuff.
Yeah, thank
it's
you
kind
for
of interesting,
researching.
Isn't it? But we do have Older and Wiser on the way next. And to take us there, we have some local music. It's Level 42 with The Chinese Way. Thanks so much for listening. If you're liking what you're hearing, tune in live to the Wednesday afternoon show on Vectus Radio from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. We hope to see you there.